was thinking it was the fire engines going by, that they're going to help people. Isn't that right? And they remind us of Jesus, because Jesus came to help us. He came, this, you know, this sign of Jesus coming into the world. It was unstoppable. God's love was so great for all of humankind that he sent his only son into the world to die for us. He knew that we were in trouble. Do you know that you're in trouble with your sins? You need to be. We all need to be. We need to be aware that we're in deep trouble because of our sins. And sin is a deathly sentence, right? It's something that comes with a death sentence. But God sent his son, just like the firemen go to put out the fire, Jesus went to put out the fire of sin in each person that walks the face of this earth. And it extends into our day today. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. It's good that God caused that fire truck to go by today. And we want to pray for those people that they're going to help, and also for the safety of firemen, right? But these things around us in our lives are good reminders for us. And they're good for us to understand in knowing God is at work among us. There isn't anything that happens in our lives that is not connected to God. Really, there isn't anything. We may think that there's like, okay, I'm going to separate my life here, and that's going to be my life, and then I'll go and worship God, and that'll be my other life. But actually, we bring it together. We were having a lesson in baptism class, and they were talking about how there's two circles, and they come, they're here, the world, and then there is Jesus, and he comes like this, and he just brings it here until it's overlapping like that. Right? Jesus comes into the world in this kind of a way. And so we need to be aware of God. So if you can, try to think of that in every aspect of your life. What is your life? Who are you? Right? Who are the people in your life? What are the things that you're going through in your life? See it that way, that Christ is involved here. Right? And then in the end, when Christ returns, it's all God. It's all Christ, right? The world is no more. But until then, we're here, and he is involved in our lives like this. Are you like this today? Or are you like this today with Christ in your life, involved in every aspect of your life and living it out? It was the same kind of a thing for the people of God when they were celebrating the Passover and the feast. And just like Lee Chan was saying, they were coming into Jerusalem, and it was a time when they, with great anticipation of going to remember how death had passed over the homes of the Israelites at the time of Moses, right? You remember that they had to wipe the blood over the doorpost from a lamb that would be a sign, and death would pass over their homes. And so they celebrated that all the time, right? They remembered that was going on. And so they had a joyful time to come together, because God had saved them. God had saved them, right? They weren't there at that time, but they were remembering how God intervened and helped their people. And so they're always celebrating. The Jewish people are still doing that today. But we are celebrating a different Passover, right? We're celebrating the fact, yes, God did save his people at that time, but he saved us through Jesus, right? And so this is the picture that we have here today of this whole festival that is going on. And Jesus very purposefully chose this time to set his sights towards Jerusalem. And then we come into this picture here where he called for a donkey and then rode into Jerusalem on that donkey at that time. So what I really want to do today is share with you how God interworks with us in our lives, and how the Bible really is doing that from the Old Testament into the New Testament. If you're not following me up to this point, then maybe you need to read your Bible more. You need to read your Bible in the Old Testament, and you need to read the New Testament, and you need to read it with your life as though your life depends upon it. You need to get into the Word of God, because the Word of God is at work in our lives, and the Word of God brought us into being into our lives. It wasn't our parents that brought us into the world. It was God that brought us into the world. And until we understand that, then we're not going to know the truth, and we're not going to know the meaning of life. But God wants us to do that. And so I want to urge all of you, don't be lax in your reading of the Word of God. It's as close to you as the Bible you can find on your shelf or to buy it or to get one from the pew and you can take it home. But you need to be involved in God because God is involved in your life and you need to understand life in His way. You know, that's the great thing about our God is that He's not just one that stays away and is distant. He's at work. He's at work in the people in your life that don't know Him. He is at work in the people that don't know Him. He is there. And there's one thing that I want to just point out when we were reading this verse with the children today in our Bible reading in Matthew. We're reading in chapter 21, and the title of this whole section here is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Would you know how to explain that to somebody? Would you know how to explain this to somebody if you were to sit down with a person who's seeking and you say, oh, what is this? What is your life about in a Palm Sunday? What is Palm Sunday about? You need to know what it means. You need to know for yourself. You need to be able to say, this is what it is. And this is what we're talking about, why we're celebrating here today. And we're going to get into this today together. We're going to get into this today together because it's filled with joy. It's filled with hope. It's an outpouring of hope that was building upon the people that are going into Jerusalem at this time in the Bible to celebrate God saving them. They called the police, they called the firemen, and God sent help. And He came in a big way, and He saved them from their sins so that they wouldn't die, and they would know where they're going when their lives were over. Right? And so in this whole section here, we were talking with the kids about the donkey, and Jesus called for that donkey. And it says in our text here that the Lord needs them and He will send them at once. And this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet in Zechariah 9:9. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And for the first part of the sermon today, we're going to be concentrating on that Jesus comes. He comes. He's a God who comes to us. Amen? I don't hear amen. Can somebody reinforce what I'm saying? God comes. Can we all say that? God comes, right? He is coming to you. The King is coming to you. Are you ready for the King to come to you? Right? Are you ready for the King to come to you? He's not a God who stays away and sends somebody else. He comes Himself. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Jesus came into the world. It says that in different verses in the Bible that we can look at in Matthew 11:3. They said to Him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you the one to come? So they're waiting for Him. They heard that He was to come. And so they're asking Him, are you the one to come? Right? Jesus came into the world and people were waiting for Him. Are we waiting for Jesus? Right? We should be waiting for Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said this about that whole fact. In the psalmist's days, He was the coming one. And He's still the coming one. Though He has already come, and we are ready for our hosannas, both for His first and second advent, our inmost souls thankfully adore and bless Him and invoke upon His head unspeakable joys. Did you hear that? We are ready with our hosannas, both for His first coming and for His second coming. Our inmost souls thankfully adore and bless Him and invoke upon His head unspeakable joys. And so if you were to ask me, Pastor, what are you doing today? I'm waiting for Jesus to come. I'm waiting for Jesus to come. All the other things, if you really want to know more about me, I'll tell you what else I'm doing in my life. But that is the first thing that I want to tell you today, that Jesus is coming again and I'm waiting for Him to come. And I can't wait. And I'm going to say it to them. Hosanna. Hosanna. Save me. Save me, Lord. Save me from my sin. I can't live in this world without You. I love You so much. I want to see You. So come soon, Lord Jesus. We turn to the last book in the Bible, right? To Revelation. What are those words in the last chapter? He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. How often do we read that verse at the last part of the Bible, right? How often do we turn to those words? How often do we go to those words when we have a problem in our lives? How often do we go to those words and remind ourselves that we have hope when we're discouraged in some kind of a way, or someone is doing something that we're concerned for? Right? How often do we grasp onto that truth? It's in God's word. It's right in front of us. God is not far away. He has come and he is coming again. Right? And the Satan wants us to be distracted away from that. He wants us to not pick up the Bible and read it. He doesn't want us to go to the last page of the Bible to see that there is hope coming in Jesus Christ in our lives. He wants you to be far away from that. He wants you to be dull of mind. He wants you to be numb of mind. He wants you to be numb of heart. He doesn't want you to be filled with love. He wants you to be filled with apathy and think, oh, I don't know what all this Christianity is about anyway. Who needs that? Well, are you going to die one day? Yes, you are. Do you have sin in your life? Yes, you do. What are you going to do about it personally? Do you have your own way to deal with that? Are you the one that's going to control the number of your days? Are you the one that is going to determine how you pass from this world? Are you the one that's going to decide where it is that you go after this? Then go to Jesus and you'll find the answers. You'll find the answers in Jesus. You'll know what it is that you're going to do for your sins. I would run to Jesus and say, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to go on with my life. I don't want any part of that other part that is darkness and is gloom. I want hope. I want to say, Hosanna, God, save me. And that's all you need to do. If somebody is here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, raise your hand and say, Hosanna. Say Hosanna. Shout Hosanna. 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 Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Amen. That's what we need to do. We need to get into the word. It's right here for us and it's filled with hope. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We're going to say Hosanna both for his first this day, the Palm Sunday. We're joining in with the people then to remember that. And we're saying Hosanna, but we believe it now. John Maxwell wrote a wonderful devotional all based on what matters, right? Things that matter. And one of the things that he said is time matters. Time matters. We don't have time to reject God. Have time to reject. We don't know what's going to happen each day, right? If you think that you do, then you have to think again, because that's the Satan. That's the devil trying to go into your mind and saying, you have time. You can do this. I worked with a girl at AT&T and she said to me, and when I told her about Jesus, she said, I'll think about that later. I have a lot of things to do right now. I'll do that later in my life. That's a death sentence. That's Satan telling that person, you have time. We don't have time. And why would we want to wait to know Christ, who has come into our lives with such love and an outpouring of mercy and grace, humbleness shown to us in a real way? Why would we want to put him on hold? Right? Amen. We put people on hold for different things in our life. Why would we do that to Jesus? He's there willing to come into our lives. And all he says is, let me in. I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. What a humble God. He doesn't force his way in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Who will open the door and let me in? If you are, if Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, then let him in. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't say I'm too young. Don't say I'm too old. Don't say I don't know anything about the Bible. Don't say don't make excuses that God doesn't want to hear, that he doesn't need to hear those things. He's looking at you and saying, I know you better than anyone in this whole world could know you. I know you better than you know yourself. And I want to come into your life and fill you with the purpose that I planned for every human being, which is to live a life that is glory and triumph. And that's what this is all about, the triumph of Jesus Christ. Amen. This Psalm 118, you know, I wanted to talk to you about Psalm 118, but first, just before we go there, the title of today's sermon is Hosanna to the Son of David, right? So why do they call him the Son of David? Well, David was king, and God made a covenant with David, and that is why they connected that with Jesus, because he was someone who was going to be coming, and it was promised through David, and the Jewish people understood that there was someone called the Messiah who was going to be coming, and that person was going to be coming in the line of David, right? And he was going to be coming, and he was going to be an eternal king. He was going to be one that gave the people meaning in their lives forever, right? And so there, let me just read a couple of words that God said in his covenant with David. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. If you want to read through that, it's a great chapter to see and give you meaning on what this means for Jesus coming and being called that, right? He says this. And your house and your kingdom, this is to David, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. And your throne shall be established forever. And God was not talking in this kind of a way for David himself. David would lose his life. He would die at that time, right? He wasn't the one that God was talking about, that his life was just going to go on forever and he'd be king here. He was pointing forward to Jesus Christ, who was the Son of David in terms of being in the line of David, right? And so Jesus is that forever king. Right. He's the one whose kingdom is established forever and ever. And that is what we believe in, that Jesus Christ came into this world, died on the cross, and he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. He's coming again, but his kingdom is forever. And that is the kind of kingdom we want to live in, isn't it? We don't want to live in the world that is numbered and there's going to be things that are going to be dying and it dies out one day and we don't remember those things. God wants us to live forever. With him. That's the whole point. It's with God. It's his kingdom. He is forever. We cannot do that without God. We cannot do that without Jesus. And that was the whole point. So let me go to Psalm 118. This psalm is the one that the people would sing on their way to Jerusalem on that festival. And they would recite these psalms as they went along. And Jesus also recited and said this psalm with his disciples before he went to die at the Last Supper, right at that time, right? And so this psalm has a great meaning for us. And let me just tell you some of the things that come into my mind that I thought of even just today when I say Hosanna. Right? Hosanna. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Hosanna. Hosanna. The Lord is good. Can you say that? The Lord is good. Hosanna. Amen. Hosanna. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever, right? Right. And then the people respond. It says, let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say his steadfast love endures forever. Let's say it together. His steadfast love endures forever. Now, what does that mean? It means that it never dies. It's always going to be there, right? In the world, we see this, and this is limited, right? This is love in this kind of a way, here in the present time, for as long as we're here in this earth. This is forever love, and God brings it in here. And he brings it into our lives so that we see it. Do you understand? The people at that time were talking about praising God, and they were coming to remember God, and they were doing all these things. Jesus comes along, he goes to Jerusalem, and they're living out this psalm. They're living it out in person, real time, seeing the answer and all the words that are here. They're seeing steadfast love in Christ. They're seeing that in him. He is that steadfast love. It isn't just hearing about it or remembering what God did at the time of Moses anymore. They are now seeing him, God himself, not Moses, not David, Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came to the world and he was there with them. And they're saying, Hosanna, save us, save us. And he did. Let's go on. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Let's say it. Hosanna. Hosanna. The Lord is on my side. Amen. That's Hosanna. Hosanna. Save me, Lord. A person doesn't say those things without feeling it, right? You have to understand your lot. You have to understand that we all go through these things. When I was a little boy, I was so filled with a feeling of frustration and anger and all these different things going on. My life was confusing to me, and I felt like, why do these things happen and why is this happening? And my parents were fighting and they were up at night screaming at each other and stuff like that. And I was saying, save me. Save me from this. And he did. We go through things in life. Doesn't matter what age you are. You're going through things. And if you hold, but if you're going through those things yourself and whatever it is, for me, it was that kind of thing. But if you're going through something else, then you say it in your own way for your own situation and you pour your heart out to God and he will come. Get rid of all the doubt. Get rid of all the doubt. You say, get out of here. Jesus came, and he came into my life. And that's why I'm saying this today. He will come when you call upon his name. Hosanna, save me. I got it. I'm coming. The sirens are blaring. He's on his way. Where is their doubt in your life? Where is their doubt? Where is their discouragement? Where is there a place where you're saying, I'm just upset and I'm going to take this and I'm just going to be angry and I'm just going to be upset about these things and I'm just going to carry this around with me and I'm just going to stay that way and I'm going to stay that way. You know why? Because you don't believe that God could come and change it. Or you think that you're good the way that you are. And we can't do that. We can't do that because there's sin in the world and we've all committed it. And that's in God's word too. But what does he say? You are dead in your sins. I don't want you. You deserve that. Just stay that way. No, he says, you have sin in your life and I've sent my son so that you won't have to feel bad about it, so you don't have to linger in it, so you don't have to die. Receive me into your heart. Live for me, and it's gone. All the sin, all the things that you've done that are wrong. And that's because he comes. He comes to us. The Lord is on my side as my helper. Read the word of God. Are you in a place where you're down? Are you in a place where you're just confused and you're thinking, you know, what am I going to do? Read these words. The Lord is on my side as my helper. Hosanna. Come and help me, Lord. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. These are the words here. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes, because he is the Prince of Peace, right? Not princes, not worldly princes, but the prince that came and died for you. He is the Prince of Peace, and he died for us in that kind of a way. So it's better to take refuge in him. So don't get refuge from somewhere else. Don't get refuge from somewhere else. Go on, I'm going to skip down to another part here. In verse 12, 13, it also says, I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. That is witness. Those are words that we need to draw upon. If you get yourself in a position where you're thinking, what should I say to someone who is interested in knowing about me and my faith, then say these words. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. That identifies me. That's who I am. Do I understand it fully? Not really, but I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to say, you know, even though I don't understand all this, you know, about God being so loving and kind to me, even though I know I've messed up and I've done these different things in my life, but I'm not going to turn it away. I'm not going to turn it away. And I can tell you, let me tell you how God has been my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. If you give me a few minutes of your time, let me tell you what that means to me. And I'll tell you about my life. You see how easy it is to share the gospel? Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The tents of the righteous. We are made righteous through Christ. So we sing glad songs of salvation. That's why we were singing today. That's why Lee Chan wrote this song about Hosanna, right? Because God filled her heart with it, and she wants to sing, and she wants us all to sing about that in our lives together. I was sitting in a choir rehearsal yesterday, and in this moment, towards the end of the rehearsal, I started to look around at these people that are in the choir, and I've known them now for 10 years. And for the first time, instead of just looking at the music and really, you know, paying attention to just that, I took the people's faces in, just like I'm looking at you here, and I started to see something that I hadn't seen before. I saw a community of people that God has built up over time, that people have faithfully been coming to this church. Are we perfect? Are they perfect? No, there wasn't any mention about that. But you see the people that are there, and you realize that they are your brothers and your sisters in Christ Jesus, who have come to God, have been saved through him, and are now coming together to sing songs to Jesus, sing out loud, to praise his name. Never mind the mistakes and all that kind of stuff. We are coming together, and God is doing something great in our church. Do you believe it? Yes. You better believe it, because it's happening. And if you want to ignore it and you want to leave here today, you're free to do that. But you're missing out. There is something going on, because God has a kingdom, and he is not a God who fails. He is not a God who accepts failure in any kind of a way. And that's why he sent Jesus into the world. We have to wake up to the fact that we have a relationship with one another here, and God is doing something powerful in it. And if you are here today, you are a part of it. And you can look around and you can count the years that you've known each other. Do we appreciate that? Do we understand that God is making something here that is going to be reflected into the world around us, so that people will know Jesus Christ? Right? We need to understand that. But that's the kind of thing that God does. He takes those moments where we're doing something completely different, and then he gets your attention, and he draws you into something, and you start to see people in a new way. You start to see your life in a new way. And why is it? Because we have something special about ourselves? No, it's because God is special, and he has something great to offer to us. And so he brings out of situations that are dire in need and problems and things that we're going through, and he makes them well. And if a person continues to be sick and they're listening to this kind of a message, then God is still at work in that person. Those are the things that we don't understand, but it does not mean that he's not present. He is very present. It says here in its word, do you believe it? If you don't believe it, then say, Hosanna, save me, Lord. Show me and come to me, Lord. Come into my life. Don't turn away from him. For goodness sakes, don't turn away from him. That's the worst thing you can do. You want to go to him. He's coming to you. Run to him. Run to him. Grab his hand. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I don't understand you completely, but I want to. I want to know you. I want to know every part of you. Right? The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord sent Jesus Christ into the world. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. He saves us. He does great things. And that's what he did with Jesus. And that's what we're celebrating today. I shall not die, but I shall live. I shall not die, but I shall live. I'm going to jump to the end here. Just actually the middle here. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That's in this psalm. You know that one, right? You know this important verse. It's in this psalm that they're talking about, right? And so it's filled with the power of God's prophecy. It's filled with the power of what Jesus was going to become. This was written hundreds of years before Christ came. And it's saying that he was rejected, but he has become the cornerstone. He was rejected. People killed him on the cross, but it didn't matter. They couldn't hold him down. They couldn't hold him away. God brought him back to life, right? The Holy Spirit brought Jesus back to life. The power of the Holy Spirit pulled him from the grave. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, when we get baptized, we have to understand that when we go under that water, it's not just like this people watching that going on. There's something else happening in that whole experience there, which is that God is reaching down into the grave of your dead life and pulling you out. Pulling you out. He's the only one that can do it. Hosanna. That's what Hosanna means. Pulling that person out. It's not the pastor pulling the person up so that they're not under the water. It's God coming in, and there's that God at work in that person because he's the one that matters. It doesn't matter about anyone else. It's between that person and God, and he pulls them out and he says, now you're all right. Ha, Satan, you thought you had them dead. No, not today. Save us, Lord, we pray. Save us, that means Hosanna. Save us. Oh, Lord, we pray, give us success. He will. And then here, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The people were saying that to the people as they were coming into Jerusalem. They would say, we bless you. Welcome. You're coming into the house of the Lord. You're coming to have this festive time here to remember the Passover, that God has saved us. And then these words, the Lord is God and he has made his light to shine upon us. These are the people there at this time before Jesus who are saying this psalm, and they're saying these things about him. The Lord is God and he has made his light to shine upon us. And that light is Jesus. That light is Jesus. It is the face of God. It is the image of God coming into the world to show us how we're to live sacrificially. Sacrificially, that we are to give up our lives for the sake of God because he gave everything for us, right? And that is going to bring meaning into our lives. If you're struggling with that right now, if you're struggling with what I'm saying to you, don't fight it. Let God come in. Let God come to you. Let him come in and take your life and put his arms around you and say, you are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Come and be with me forever. The Lord is God and he has made his light to shine upon us. Do you feel the light of God shining upon you? You need to, because it's there. Let the word of God touch you that way. And this part at the end here is so important, because we're going now from Palm Sunday and we're entering into the Holy Week. It's called the Passion. And the Passion is the suffering and death of Jesus. The Passion, if you ever hear that, the Passion time. It's the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. On Good Friday, we'll be having a service to remember him and what he did for us. But this part in this psalm is so important, and it's probably the biggest part of what is coming up in the next week. It says, bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. And so what they would do is that they would come into the temple and they would have a sacrifice of a lamb, and that sacrificial lamb would represent what God did at the time of Moses, where a lamb was killed, the blood was smeared over the doorpost, and they were saved from death. And so they would do this and to remember that day and to say, God, thank you for doing it then. Thank you for saving us from our sins now. The difference on this day is that Jesus was going there and he was that lamb. And he was going to be tied, right, to the horns of the altar. This whole idea here is just so incredibly powerful, right? Derek Kidner said this about it. The horns of the altar, right, where the lamb was going, where the blood would be smeared on the horns of the altar, right? The horns of the altar became the arms of the cross. And the festival found fulfillment in Christ, our Passover. And so Christ is our Passover. Death passes over us. It has no power on us because we have Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. It was his blood that was poured out there. And so when they were saying these words and when they were speaking these words and remembering what had happened years ago, God himself, the fulfillment of all of the things that came before, was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he was going to that altar. He was going to that altar at the hands of mankind to die for us and to save us from our sins. And that is the greatest meaning of Hosanna. When we say Hosanna, we say, you have saved me. You have saved me. I was lost. I was dead. And now I'm alive. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the final words in this great psalm, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That is the whole psalm of praise, of a life acknowledging that they were lost, that they're in need of salvation. Save me. God comes into the world. He sends his son, and he is the Passover lamb. He is Christ, our Passover. There's a verse that I came across today in 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And brothers and sisters, I just want to say this to you. This is not a usual time. Okay? This is not a usual time. This is a time when God comes in great power through his Holy Spirit to speak to us in our lives and to reveal to us the things that he desires for us to know. One of the things that touched my heart when I was reading from different reflections of people on this time of the Passover and on the death of Jesus Christ and him going to the altar in that kind of a way is, the question is, are we willing to go to that altar and lay down our lives for God? Are we willing to be bound, to be taken before that altar and to stay there? We tend not to want to endure that kind of suffering. But we are called to it. We are called to it to show our love for God. And it doesn't mean that all of us are going to suffer in the same way. But perhaps that thought will help us as we go into this week of Passover to ask God, you gave your life for me. What are you asking me to give for you? Right? And you can trust him. You can trust him in that moment when you ask him that he will not condemn you or say something to you that is going to be unloving, but it will be the best thing. And those are the private moments that we have with God that we need to have and seek, right? And so it's very important for us, brothers and sisters, to consider what we are going to be celebrating this week. And approaching Thursday for the washing of our feet, right? We're going to wash one another's feet here in the church at 7:30 if you come. Jesus did the same thing for his disciples. And it's, you know, we could probably not do that every year, but I think it's good that we do. You know, oh, I did that last year. We washed one another's feet. Is it going to become something too common? I think that there are things that God asks for us to do in his word that we need to continue to do. Why? Because it's never the same. Because our lives are not the same to this week as they were last year, are they? I don't think so. There's too many things that happen, and our spiritual lives and the way that we think and the way that we do things is different. You know, we go through life, but we want to do that. We want to come and we want to have that humble opportunity to wash the foot or feet of a brother in Christ or sister in Christ. Then on Good Friday, we will be reflecting on the shadows that came at the time when Christ died for us, right? But that there is great hope in that. And the message that we have for Good Friday and Easter is one of hope. That even though the Son of God died in such a brutal way and a terrible way, that there is great hope for us in that. And that extends into Easter Sunday when we come and we have a time on the steps in the front of the church to sing Hosanna and Hallelujah and praise God. He's risen from the dead. And then we have a joint service together as one body in Christ to celebrate the resurrection from the dead. That means that we live also when we believe in Jesus. And then following that, we have a baptism, right? To where we can see that God pulls a person from death and brings them into new life, a new creation, born again. The old is gone and the new has come. And then after that, we'll have a celebration with children to spread the news of Jesus Christ in the afternoon and invite people from the community to come in, our own children and also those around us, so that they will know that there is hope for their life, so that if they face a place in their life where it's hard and they're confused, then they can know that God came through his son, through Jesus Christ, to save them. And he's coming again. And so let us ponder these things this week and remain close to God through his word. And we're going to sing a song of response with the one we've sung already. But let us open our eyes and our ears to what God is saying to us. And when we say Hosanna, really to ask God to show us personally, each as an individual, what he means by that at this time in our life.